This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to preview the debate. Jennifer Gilardi is here to help with that. John Phillips is here to help with that. We talked to Tim Burchett, member of Congress. I believe they're getting ready to blow a bunch of your money. There is so much to get to tonight on I'm Right. All right, let's talk about the debate. It is tomorrow night. I'm so freaking excited about it. This is heaven for political nerds like you and me. I was having a cup of coffee with the wife this morning. We were just joking about life and talking about things. I said, oh, the debate's tomorrow. And she got excited too. Everyone's excited. It's fired up time. It's game time, baby. And look, before we get to the rules, this debate is a really big deal. It's a really, really, really big deal. Why? Because elections aren't really about you or me. I'm talking about general elections. The primary process, that's really about you and me. When it comes to general elections for the presidency, they're about the norms, the normas of the world, the normal people in your life, your friends, neighbors, relatives, who don't really pay attention to politics. I don't like politics. You catch the game? It's those people. They are the people, sadly, who decide who wins general elections. And the norm and norma, they will tune out of life, of politics. They'll just act too busy. But they will tune in for the presidential debates, especially the first debates between the candidates. It's why after Joe Biden pooped his pants on stage during the last debate, every Democrat, pundit, and politician went on television and they were practically crying. They were giving his eulogy. Why? Because they knew it was a big deal that Joe Biden got on stage that night and pooped his pants. It wasn't a small deal. It wasn't a 24-hour outrage. Democrats knew that Norm and Norma were watching the president and finding out what you've known for 3.5 years, that he's not a functional adult. And they knew that was it for them. And tomorrow night, the debate on ABC is a big deal. Because as wired in as you are to politics, you know the headlines and the players, you know the scandals, you know all this. That's how tuned out Norm and Norma are. They have no idea. But tomorrow, they will be tuned in. And as unbelievable as this is, you should understand this. there will be many undecided voters who tune in to that debate tomorrow night, and they will decide who to vote for based on what they see at the debate tomorrow night. Many of them. I know, for nerds like you, like me, it's crazy. What do you mean you're trying to decide? How do you not know? We know everything. I get it, but that's the reality. The debate's huge. So let's talk about the debate. It's on ABC. That's a disaster. Get to that in a moment. But the rules are wonderful. The rules that were set up to help Joe Biden, remember, these are the Biden rules that Trump agreed to. They were set up to help Joe Biden. They ended up hurting Joe Biden, and now they're bad for Dome. You're not allowed notes. That's going to kill Dome. It won't kill Trump. He knows all this stuff. They're not allowed to confer with campaign staffers. Again, that won't matter to Trump. He doesn't listen to his people half the time anyway. He's just kind of his own guy. Dome needs someone to tell her what to say. That's going to hurt Dome. Every part of this debate hurts Dome. And the part of the debate that hurts her the most is that they can't interrupt each other. You see, Dome, she needs to be interrupted. She has to be interrupted. She has to. Because all she has is the "I'm speaking" line. We've talked about this before. That's all she has. That's the only thing she can use. She doesn't have a personality. And let's again go back to the norms and norms who will be watching, who may decide the election. Tomorrow night may decide the election. If you're just now getting introduced to Kamala Harris, because they know Trump, everyone knows Trump, even the norms know Trump by now. If you're just now getting introduced, maybe you don't like Trump, you're not sure, you know gas is too high, you're kind of undecided, if you're one of those weirdos right now, Dome is not necessarily a known quantity. You know who she is. But imagine tuning in and hearing this for the first time.
We talked about those lids. So here's what I said to her. Here's what I said to her. So you know how those lids are, because this is, well, I'm just going to speak, okay? So this is it. So you know how those lids on those Starbucks cups, they're white, right? And so if you wear lipstick, they get all over the lid. And so then I find myself in meetings if I'm the only woman, and that's kind of, and so I keep taking the lid off and having my cup out so that I don't have that big lipstick mark on the lid. So I said, can we do something about the color of the lid? So that was that conversation.
Yeah. But what will tomorrow night be about? It clearly won't be about Dome's personality. If it is, she's finished. If she can't have Trump interrupt her, and he can't, then what they will have, the only thing they will have, is a series of pre-packaged speeches, and they'll have no choice but to cross their fingers and pray don't memorize those. Remember, this is exactly what they tried. If you were paying attention, this is what they tried for Joe Biden during the debate for the same reason. He can't think, he can't talk, but hey, let's get him to memorize this. Just, hey, Joe, whenever they bring up anything, abortion, whatever, foreign policy, here, Joe, here's what you talk about. And they were banking on him just being able to regurgitate what they'd written down for him and get away with it. That's what Dome's going to try tomorrow. And it will all be based on fear. That's what it'll all be. It'll all be based on be afraid of Trump for this reason or afraid of Trump for that reason. That's how they operate. That's how Dome has always operated. Remember when she was flailing in that Democrat primary and she had no chance to even take down Joe Biden, but she knew she had to swing for the fences. So what was her home run swing? What was her home run shot? She was desperate. Well, of course, racism.
I would like to speak on the issue of race. I'm going to now direct this at Vice President Biden. I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. But I also believe, and it's personal, and it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but You also worked with them to oppose busing. And, you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools. And she was bused to school every day. And that little girl was me.
That's all she's got. That's all they've got. And she'll have a heaping helping of that tomorrow. So what can Trump do? What should Trump do? Well, Trump has historically done very well in the debates. Set aside the first debate with Joe Biden last election. Trump does well in debates. That happens. He's a charismatic guy. He is. He loves being on stage. He loves crowds. He loves speeches. He loves cameras. It's what he's always done. So he's completely comfortable up there. But how comfortable is he is the question. What I mean by that is he going to go completely off script, or is he going to do what he did last time during the Biden debate and stay on message? Inflation, immigration, on message all the time. He was awesome.
As president, you swore an oath to, quote, preserve, protect, and defend, unquote, the Constitution. What do you say to voters who believe that you violated that oath through your actions and inaction on January 6th and worry that you'll do it again?
Well, I don't think too many believe that. And let me tell you about January 6th. On January 6th, we had a great border. Nobody coming through, very few. On January 6th, we were energy independent. On January 6th, we had the lowest taxes ever. We had the lowest regulations ever. On January 6th, we were respected all over the world. All over the world, we were respected. And then he comes in, and we're now laughed at. We're like a bunch of stupid people. That what happened to the United States' reputation under this man's leadership is horrible, including weaponization, which I'm sure at some point you'll be talking about, where he goes after his political opponent because he can't beat him fair and square.
That was awesome. Hey, talk about January 6th, of course, stupid question. Immediate pivot to stay on message. Trump has run a campaign like that so far, a couple little flare-ups, but he's run a campaign like that so far. He did a debate like that last time. I expect him to do a debate like that tomorrow night. Unlike my producer, Matt, I'm extremely hopeful that tomorrow night will go well. But my producer, Matt, does bring up a good point. We were talking before the show. He has concerns about ABC. It is hard, if not impossible, to find a major network that is more biased than ABC. ABC is owned by Disney. You know who Dana Walden is? She's a Disney executive. Yeah, she hates Donald Trump. Also, let's talk about the moderators, Lindsay Davis. This lady you are about to see right here is going to be moderating the debate tomorrow night.
As you know, former President Donald Trump is expected to go campaign in Howell, Michigan tomorrow. Many people are aware that a month ago in Howell, KKK protesters marched in the streets with the white robes on and suggested that they support Donald Trump. I'm curious if you make anything about that connection and him going in particular to Howell tomorrow.
That's the host of the debate tomorrow night, one of the hosts, casually making a little KKK reference when it comes to Donald Trump. So he's going to be up against ABC, he's going to be up against the moderator, and he'll be up against Dome. But this was kind of the case last time. Dana Bash, Jake Tapper actually didn't do that terrible of a job. This time, in their desperation, I expect them to be much more biased and vicious in whatever ways they can be. It'll all be up to Trump because they're all going to be against him. Can he stay on message and on point like he did last time? And I think he will. Can he do that? If he can, I think we're looking good. If he can't, we're not. And let's also remember this. Maybe you'll find this comforting. Maybe this will make you have a hard time going to sleep tonight. You know, Dome's going to run on fear, racism, all this other stuff. That's in her entire message is going to be Republicans hate women, Republicans are racist. Trump's entire message will be inflation, immigration, secure the border. It'll all be about policy things. Dome doesn't even have policies. There is a chance that Dome understands the voting public of this country better than Trump does now. There's a chance that's what people want. There's a chance that's what works now. And if that's the case, we're pretty much screwed. But we'll find out in November. And the debate's going to be exciting. I can't wait. All that may have made you uncomfortable or not, but I'm right. John Phillips knows Dome very, very well. He's known about Kamala Harris's political career, has talked about it forever. He has a great show out of California. We're going to talk to John Phillips in a moment. Before we talk to John Phillips, I want to talk to you about going to sleep at night. Well, not just going to sleep, waking up in the morning. Dream powder from Beam is hot chocolate. That's what it is. Mine is cinnamon hot chocolate. It's delicious. It's really delicious. I have to keep my sons away from it. It's just, I get a little cup of milk and I warm it up in the microwave and I mix in this little hot chocolate powder and I just sit and sip on it. It's my pre-bed drink. Only it's got natural things in it, like melatonin. And I know I'm going to drift off to sleep after I drink it. But when I wake up, I will feel amazing. That's the difference between dream powder and other things that help you sleep. When you wake up, you are full of energy and ready to go. You want 40% off a bag of it? Go to shopbeam.com/JesseKelly. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're very different in the policies that you've supported in the past. You're considered the most liberal United States senator.
Somebody said that, and it actually was Mike Pence on the debate stage.
Yeah. Well, actually, the nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator
You supported the Green New Deal. You supported Medicare for All.
I'm trying to figure out if she is as far left as her voting record is, or if she is, as I suspect, simply whatever she needs to be for the next election. I actually have this theory, and I know John Phillips is already listening because John Phillips of the Great John Phillips Show joins us now. So, John, I might as well just throw my theory directly to you. I have this theory, and you know you can blast holes in it. We're friends. That if Dome was actually running to be a city councilman in rural Wyoming, that she would have policy positions that are to the right of me. I don't think she has any policy positions outside of whatever she needs for the next election. Am I crazy?
I think you're right. This was the lane that was open to her. She was someone who cut her teeth in San Francisco politics. And when you cut your teeth in San Francisco politics, you have to be a certain type of person. And she was that. And then when she ran statewide, she moderated her beliefs and moved a little bit to the right and was in a very contested election for attorney general and was able to win that election. And then when she was running in the Democratic primary, she thought the available lane was on the left. So that's where she went. Now she's got to move to the center, and that's what she's going to do. The one consistent through line with her is that she wants to accumulate as much power as possible. And those people are dangerous because when that's your one loyalty, you'll do all kinds of strange things that aren't necessarily predictable.
Speaking of strange things she's done, you know what? No, we don't have to go down that route, but let's do this. Tell me how this debate goes wrong for Trump, John. Now, you know, everyone knows what a cynic I am. I don't pretend to be, you know, flowery optimist guy, but I look at the debate rules. He can't interrupt her. She can't do that. I'm speaking thing. She knows nothing about policy. Trump, even if you hate his freaking guts, knows everything about what he wants and knows everything about the policy. Everything is set up for Trump to do well and win. And everything's set up for Dome to look terrible tomorrow night. So what am I not seeing, John? What is going to happen that Wednesday morning we're going to show up here and talk about how bad it went for us? What could happen?
Well, your assessment is correct, I think. If you're Donald Trump, what you need to do is you need to let her talk. What's the saying? Silence is golden, but duct tape is silver. And I'm sure he'll have the impulse to try to run her over every time she opens her mouth. That's what he did to Joe Biden last time around. It didn't work. She has a very difficult time speaking in a coherent way. You get a lot of word salads. You have her on both sides of every subject that people care about this cycle. Let her talk. If you let her talk, you put her out in the middle of the ocean without a life vest. Let that happen. Let nature take its course. If you jump in and try to run her over, you'll look like a bully and you'll save her every time she starts to engage in one of these word salads or every time that she contradicts herself or contradicts a position that she took on that subject at some point in the past. This is one of these opportunities where less is more. Donald Trump doesn't have to win the debate. Donald Trump just has to be there on stage and let her talk.
John, you've been covering this woman, talking about this one for a long time. I have another theory that she is the most miserable person in America right now, knowing this debate is coming, because she can't speak. She knows she can't speak. She doesn't know the issues. She knows she doesn't know the issues. It's why she does the laugh we all make fun of her for all the time. That this woman has got to be in mortal fear right now of embarrassing herself on the national stage. Am I right?
What I think she's looking for, and I think that she's going to spend a lot of her time prepping for this debate doing the wrong things, she's going to look for some contrived viral moment. I was at the movies this weekend, and there was a guy who was in line getting ready to go to the movies. And he was wearing a T-shirt that had her picture on it and said, let me speak, or let her speak. I forget exactly what the phraseology was. But they're already marketing that merchandise. They're already selling those T-shirts. What she's looking for is some event, some exchange between her and Donald Trump where he's rude to her, she's trying to get a point across, and then she has the viral moment. Well, when you're counting on the viral moments as opposed to the substance, you're ceding a lot of ground to the opposition, because most people, I think, aren't looking for some kind of YouTube moment. If you're looking for a YouTube moment, you can go into any kind of black hole you want and stay up all night finding them on YouTube. You don't need Kamala Harris for it, but that's what they're going to try to find. They're going to try to find a way to package her so that she is this woman that just won't let any man tell her what to do, won't let a man take her speaking time. And, you know, she's this feminist, this modern feminist sort of character. And they're going to try to package her that way, as opposed to what Ryan Gruduski calls your aunt on pills, which is kind of how the world sees her now.
You say that that's not what people want to see. And I hope you're right. And I agree with you. But are we sure about that, John? It's not as if every American listens to your show or listens to my show or pays attention to this stuff. Are we 100% sure the American people as a whole, they want to hear policy, they're upset enough about the price of eggs? Or are we a culture now who wants the YouTube moment?
Well, I'm sure her crowd definitely wants it. But if you're trying to plan something, contrive something that's supposed to be sold as being organic, and you're not an actor, and you're not someone who does that professionally, it's very risky. Because if it doesn't land, oh my God, you're going to look dumb. And you could even tell that there was a certain element of the first debate where Joe Biden, when he said that you have the morals of an alley cat, I think that that was supposed to be the moment that they came up with that was going to lead the newspapers the next day. And because the guy's demented, it didn't land. He stepped all over himself, and it didn't work out the way he wanted it to. It's risky to do that, because when organic moments happen, when something happens that's organically funny, or it is you just being quick on your feet, it's hugely beneficial because it gives you a window into who the person is. But if you're trying to have this moment that was written by someone else that is not you, it just makes you look like you're an imposter. It makes you look like you're uncomfortable in your own skin. And those are the problems that pre-exist for her before this debate. If I were her or I were her team, I would just focus on the substance. I would focus on trying to have some coherent plan for each of these issues. And I would have a do no harm kind of approach. But it looks like they're going in the opposite direction, and she's coming in with the razzle dazzle.
I have to, before I let you go, John, I have to ask. Grandma Vodka, she's looking more and more unhinged, and I can't honestly tell if she does have a vodka problem, if it's a pill problem, if it's an age problem. Well, here she was.
What advice would you give Donald Trump for the debate? You're super close, I know.
Yeah.
You are close in a way.
He takes my advice, yeah. Do you think he's going to show up?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. Do you know something I don't know?
I know cowardice when I see it. Yeah.
John, you know, I'm a Pelosi fan. As much as I loathe her, we've had this talk a million times. I wish we had 10 of her on our side, but she doesn't look and sound good anymore, buddy.
Well, when she was Speaker of the House, she had to be more controlled because she was speaking on behalf of the Democratic caucus. And now that she's no longer Speaker of the House, and she's probably never going to be Speaker again or aspire to any higher office again, you're getting the real her. This is the real Nancy Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi unchained. And she's also selling a book. You notice she never used to do this many interviews when she was Speaker of the House, because you go out, you do an interview, you get your point out there, then you go back to working behind closed doors. Well, now she's trying to stir the pot as much as humanly possible. In addition to what you just played, in addition to her trying to draw heat with Donald Trump, you notice that she just can't stop kicking Joe Biden. She's doing interview after interview after interview where she got what she wanted. She got this guy to drop out of the race, give up the most powerful job in all the land. And then she goes on television, goes, I don't think he wrote the letter. I don't know where that letter came from. Maybe it was AI. I don't know. Maybe some writer wrote it. That wasn't Joe. I know Joe. That's not Joe. I've never been impressed with his political operation before. I mean, she just kicks the guy in the crotch with a stiletto weekly. She cannot stop doing it. There's no point in continuing to attack this guy. The guy is already done, but she just lets him have it over and over and over again. It's quite something.
It is something. John, thank you, brother. I can't wait for tomorrow. I'll talk to you soon. All right. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I also can't wait for the movie. Have you seen? Please tell me you've seen the previews for Matt Walsh's new movie, Am I Racist? I don't know how much better of a person you could have found than Matt Walsh, because he's just so insanely dry, and he goes undercover with all this DEI stuff and pretends to be one of these DEI operatives in Gosh. And plus, you can take your whole family. Can't go to the freaking movies anymore without paying some company who hates you. Stick it to Hollywood. Go buy some tickets to Am I Racist? Take your family. Take your mom, take your dad, take your kids. It'll be fine for everybody. AmIRacist.com is where you go buy tickets for it. Go. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm speaking. Dome loves that line. She's been a huge fan of that line. Every time she gets on stage, whether it's against Pence, whether she's in a crowd, some people are yelling, she loves to do the I'm speaking bit. Now, this will be denied her because of the muted microphone thing in the debate tomorrow night, but she loves it. She uses it all the time.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
I have to
I'm speaking. In. Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Well,
I'm speaking.
It'd be important if you said the truth.
Mr. Yes. Vice President, I'm speaking. Please. I'm speaking. Okay. If you don't mind letting me finish, we can then have a conversation, okay?
Please.
Okay. I'm trying to answer you now.
The American people deserve a straight answer.
I will not sit here and be lectured by the Vice President. I'm speaking. Yeah, I'm about to. I will not be lectured by the Vice President.
Anyway, I am curious why that's her go-to line. That has me curious because it obviously is something. They poll test everything. It's been poll tested. They landed on that line and they love it. But does it work on anybody? Joining me now, a former Democrat, now a wonderful culture, health and policy writer, friend of the show, Jennifer Gilardi. Okay, Jennifer, now obviously all that's nails on a chalkboard to me that I'm speaking bullcrap, but I know these people aren't speaking to me. Does that work on people? And if so, why?
Jesse, are you going to let me speak, please? Are you done?
Please, go ahead, please.
That was probably the shortest intro I've ever gotten, actually. You know, I think most people already know who they're voting for. I don't think any of this stuff is swaying people either way. We've talked about this so many times on your show before. You know, she kind of has the same thing over and over again, but I think people know who they're going to vote for, and I'm not sure the debate will make much of a difference. It's not like she's hiding anything, like Joe Biden and all his shills were hiding his dementia, you know, for Lord knows how long. She's already proven she's incompetent and really can't take the pressure of live interviews, debates, or interactions. People are either going to vote for her, they're either going to see that, or they just don't care. I think they don't care, right? They've got Trump derangement syndrome. Majority of them are single issue voters, whether it's abortion or Gaza or some other issue based in pure emotion, and are too easily swayed by non-rational arguments. So the I'm speaking thing is a non-rational thing because it doesn't even speak to policy, right? And I, like I said, I don't think a lot of them care. A majority of the Democrat voters, which are single women, don't care. They just hear abortion and they go off the handle. Maybe she'll have such a poor showing that it might sway a handful of voters, and we can hope that's enough, but she really needs to blow it like Biden, kind of like bend it like Beckham. I mean, at this point, she really needs to blow it, I think, to move the needle a great bit. We see it's kind of neck and neck and got all these polls and everything, but I'm not sure where the people actually sit. And at this point, I think people are watching the debate for sport or entertainment, right? Like who'll make the first cut or who'll throw that like fatal jab. And we're waiting for the social media snippet that will go viral thinking that will change people's minds. But I really think people are already set where they are. One thing I'd like to see Trump do is somehow take her by surprise, hit a topic she's unprepared for. He can't control the questions. And obviously the media is going to spoon feed things about border crime and the economy, which are all very important. But we've heard the candidates talk about these ad nauseum, and they're things that she expects. So somehow she'll be slightly prepared for them. But I think if Trump can get in some talking points that seem to unify America, like we witnessed when RFK Jr. came on stage at his rally in Arizona, I mean, they went off the charts. Things about health, right? The things that RFK Jr. has been talking about, unity, and take some cues from his campaign. You know, I felt such joy and optimism when I saw those two together. And I think the right needs to use some of that emotional momentum that they've built up, that we sometimes forget that people are swayed by the story and by emotion. I read an article from one of RFKJ's staffers about how being at that rally was so uplifting. He felt so welcomed. Everybody was excited. He said everybody was kind, and they're like, we've been going for RF. We've been hoping he'd join, and they're really positive. The same with the Tucker tour. I had a friend that was in the VIP room working it when he went on stage with Ramaswamy and RFKJ, who was unexpected at that event. And she said it was just off the charts. It was like bigger than a rock concert, that people were just so uplifted and optimistic. And then I look at some social media feeds from people in my past, like the old kind of progressive world, and they're living a totally different life. They're not seeing any of this. You know, they're worried about gays having the right to marry and use women's bodies for baby making. And they've been told Trump will roll all this back. So I think if Trump can bring in some of the health stuff, some of the unifying things, and make it seem like we're not all a bunch of like racists that they tell everybody we are. But it is kind of coming down to this civil war type mentality. I think one side thinks certain practices are morally indefensible, and it's which vision of America is going to move forward.
Jennifer, you say that Dome has to blow it. You know, Kamala Harris has to get up there and blow it in some way for it to move the meter. And granted, given her history, she certainly could. But what would Trump do to blow it with maybe the undecided voter who's watching? What would be a mistake if he goes? What's he have to do to really make a mistake with someone who's maybe you're a flimsy Dem, kind of mad about the price of eggs, but he can really step on it and go too far with what?
Well, I think we've seen from the past debate that the mic's turned off when they're not speaking is helpful to Trump. It restrains him, it controls him. And most people who hate Trump hate him because of his personality, hate him because of his off-color comments, right? So I think if he can do what he did in the debate with Biden, which is maintain composure, stick to the issues, use that unifying theme that RFKJ brings to the party, bring in some of those people that, I mean, there were a lot of lefties in, and righties, left and right. You know, I kind of do fall somewhere in the middle, even though the left would probably, you know, automatically say I'm some right-wing fascist. But there's some living in California, I appreciate the environment. I'm kind of an RFKJ person when it comes to environment and health. So I think if he can just keep himself metered, keep with the unifying thing. A friend of mine says to me that he thinks everyone is worn out by Trump and all the theater. And I agree, but I'd say we're all worn out by all of it. And I know we just want to kind of get it over with and go on to deal with the impending chaos, because, you know, no matter who wins, it's going to be insane. The losing side will claim the election was stolen no matter what. You know, the right will say it was voter fraud, which will happen. I'm certain of it. And the left is going to keep screaming Russia, 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 which, like, I think you've already said in some of your episodes, they've already been doing. And I'll just reiterate what I said to you in my first episode with you, Jesse, is that I think this country has a cancer. And I'm not saying it's terminal, but a Trump victory will only kind of be a form of radiation. So as soon as we stop applying pressure, it's going to take over. The left, the progressive movement will take over. And so many people have already caved to these kind of distorted norms and ideas. Some are even allowing kids to chop off their genitalia. I mean, a lot of people disagree with that, but how have we even let it get this far? So I think our optimism and hope really has to lie in the fact that the past 4 or 5 years has exposed a lot about who people are. And now we can decide who we want to build communities and relationships and our families with. And, you know, when this election is over, it doesn't matter. We'll keep fighting for what's true and good and right and beautiful. And we just have to create that for ourselves.
Do you have an ice maker at home, like a portable one on your counter?
No, nope, I'm hoping you were going to send me one, like as a gift. I don't know.
Look,
what I would.
They're pretty expensive. They're pretty expensive. Mine was like $40. It was like $35, $40. But I have unlimited ice now on my counter. So I was checking in to see if maybe you had. But if you don't, I'm sorry. Best of luck to you, Jennifer. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
We have Tim Burchett, member of Congress, coming on in a moment. He's going to talk about the money. You know, beyond the debates and the presidential stuff, there are huge things, tangible things that are happening now, and they mean something for your life. Is the GOP going to get anything for, I almost laughed just talking about it. Is the GOP going to get anything in these budget negotiations? We'll talk to Tim Burchett about that in a moment. Before we talk to Tim Burchett, let's talk about Pure Talk. I'm going to talk about your phone. I'm going to talk about the war we have to fight with corporate America. Corporate America has been co-opted, infected, and taken over by the dirty commies. You see it every TV commercial. You see it on billboards. You see it on these endless rainbow social media campaigns. And so how do we fight back? We fight back with our money. You fight back with your dollar. Starve them of your dollar. You shouldn't send a dime to Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile. Those companies hate your freaking guts. Pure Talk shares your values. Their CEO's a veteran. They hire Americans. Their cause is veterans. Switch. It's cake. PureTalk.com/JesseTV saves you a pile of money. Switch. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's been a bunch of good news. I'm excited about the debate tomorrow, and Trump's going to slaughter Kamala Harris, and it'll be fun to watch. But the bad news is Congress is back in session. That's friggin' awful. That usually means that you're about to get poorer and you're going to get less free. Joining me now, one of the good people there, Congressman Tim Burchett out of Tennessee. He's also on the House Oversight, Foreign Affairs, and Transportation Committee, which that's going to matter here in a moment. Congressman, well, Congress is meeting now, and of course, we're hearing about the SAVE Act and a budget, and can you give us an update on what's happening there?
Yeah, our leadership is looking at pursuing this CR, continued resolution, which is really just us foregoing our duty, our constitutional duty of passing a budget. So we just pass a funding package that basically is just a continuation of the bad policies before, but now we've come up with this idea of putting the SAVE Act on it, which verifies that they're American citizens. But, you know, coming up on a presidential election, people that are voting, of course, would be American citizens. We've already sent that already over to the Senate once before. Schumer, it's sitting on Schumer's desk. I don't know that it does a whole lot of good right now. I frankly don't think that we've got the votes to even pass it, because it's forcing people like myself to vote for terrible Nancy Pelosi spending packages. And, you know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. So we can pass this SAVE Act, which there's no way that it could be enforced in time before these presidential elections anyway. So I would think we just focus on passing a good spending bill.
Why does that never happen? Is that just a thing of the past? Because as you rightly pointed out, we've been so slow frog boiled for so long. NECR is a scandal in and of itself. That should not be something that ever happens. And that's all we ever get now. Just so no one ever has to make a tough cut on anything. Just keep blowing through all of our money while the Titanic slips beneath the waves. Are we ever going to actually get a budget passed anymore?
I don't know. I would hope we would. Jody Harrington's got a committee that does it, that, you know, the budget committee. I would say no. In 30 years, we haven't had the guts to do it. And that's by design. Let's just be honest. They don't want to pass single spending bills like we do in Tennessee in the legislature. They make fun of Tennessee, but it does have a balanced budget, constitutionally mandated, as a matter of fact. And they continue down this path. And the big boys don't want to have to justify their spending packages. And they'll say, Virtue, we could be here all night. Well, dadgummit, let's stay here all night. If, you know, everything I've got that I put forward, I can defend. I say we should make everybody defend all their spending. And I think that would that'd go a long ways.
Congressman, you are also on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and you have a new report out about the Afghanistan withdrawal. What's in it?
Well, it just shows the disaster that the Biden administration is, and their continued myth that, you know, they did everything they could, and they try to blame it on Trump. And then the legacy media are just lapdogs for this administration. Hell, they put them in power. They're the reason they're there, and they're going to just keep going with the lie. And, you know, that's why you got an addled old man in the White House right now that the press is even requesting his presence anywhere. And they've covered for him the last, everybody says 3 years. It's really been longer than that. They covered for him when he was in office. And it's going to show that, in fact, that the suicide bomber that killed those last 13 people was, you know, in a sniper sites more than once, the military lack of intelligence, I would say, called him off of that shot. And it's going to show that we had a program in place that would get people out before the Taliban took over. And then they started implementing that program after the Taliban had already took over. And, you know, it's just on down the line of just the ridiculous things this administration has done, and the cover that they've received from the media is disgusting. It's truly disgusting.
It is. Do you have a portable ice maker at your house or maybe even in the office? We just got a portable ice maker, and it's really changed my life.
No, I don't. I do at the house, actually. I don't know. It's not portable. It's I had one put in. You know, there was, when I bought this old house, it had those one of those disposals that you could, you would crush all your trash up into a cube, which, you know, with the 70s hipsters, all the doctors, when I was a kid, all my buddies whose dad, mom and dad, for one of them was a doctor, would get one of those. And we had that space under our counter. And I said, yank that stupid thing out. I said, put a freaking ice maker in there. That's changed my world.
Oh,
it really has.
Dang. God, I've been trying to tell people for a month now that it's life-changing. No one wants to listen. Hopefully you'll listen to the congressman. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. You heard it from the horse's mouth. It's life-changing. He got a permanent one put in. Gosh, that actually made me feel terrible. Mine's just this little portable thing. It sits right on the counter. Well, I don't want to give too much away. We may or may not have a big reveal coming soon when it comes to that. Look, I wanted to ask the tough questions, all right? All right. At least do I have light in the mood. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. Before we do that, I want you to know something. I realize tomorrow night's debate is going to be going on when our normal time slot is here. And I know what you're going to be thinking watching this debate. You're going to be thinking every single second, I wonder what Jesse thinks. I wonder what Jesse thinks. Of course, that's what you're going to be thinking. Well, in all seriousness, I am going to do a mini little debate thoughts thing on my YouTube channel after the debate. You're going to have to be on the YouTube channel. Go subscribe. YouTube.com/JesseKellyDC. Go subscribe. Doesn't cost anything. Just go subscribe to the YouTube channel. All right? YouTube.com/JesseKellyDC. Now, for lighten the mood, apparently fishing can be a contact sport. By the way, the kid was totally fine. I don't know if he's ever going to want to go fishing again. But either way, I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.